when I visualize my goals and my plans for 2 or 3 minutes a day, and I see the goals that I want to achieve, I see the vision, I see the benefits, I see the people I'm helping. If you do this for 100 days, the neurons that you fire and wire together override the old natural neurons of what your current results are. Why does every athlete do this? Why does every astronaut do this? Every Navy SEAL do this? Why? Because they're using their brains better.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Scale It Method, where we teach you to reach the next level in your business, build your dream team, and scale beyond 8 figures. Too many business owners are stuck trying to do everything themselves, and their businesses are suffering as a result. And I don't want you to be one of those people. I'm Allison Maslin, and my company, Pinnacle Global Network, has helped thousands of business owners scale their companies using my framework, the Scale It Method. All business owners face similar challenges when it comes to growth. And so on this podcast, we are delivering the tactics you need to finally reach the next level in your business, build your dream team, and scale beyond 8 figures. And today, we are featuring a special episode from one of my Pinnacle Global Network events. Now, at Pinnacle Global Network, we help business owners and CEOs create a step-by-step plan customized for scaling beyond 8 figures, and then we hold your hand through the process. So keep an eye out for more amazing content we'll be sharing on the podcast from our events in the following weeks. Now, our speaker today is none other than the legendary John Assaraf. Now, John Assaraf is one of the world's leading high-performance success coaches. He grew RE/MAX of Indiana from a startup to 85 offices and 1,200 sales associates who sold over $4 billion a year. Today, he is the CEO of NeuroGym, a neuroscience-based company dedicated to helping individuals strengthen their mindset so they can achieve their goals faster and easier than ever before. Now, in this episode, John breaks down how our brains hold us back from achieving our goals and what we can do about it. He lays out a clear blueprint that anyone can follow to rewire their brains for success so that we can finally turn our dreams into reality. Now, I'm really excited to be sharing this episode with you all today, and I know you're going to get a ton of value from it. John's a great guy. He's a dear friend of mine, and it was a pleasure for him to speak at my event. All right. Thanks for joining us today. Enjoy this episode with John Assaraf.
I'm going to sell you something, but it's not what you think. What I want to sell you on is the way that you can become unstoppable in business success. So let me ask you a question. Do you agree with this statement? Is mindset what separates the best from the rest? And specifically as it relates to being an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur for over 40 years. I got into real estate when I was 19 years young. And I can share with you that regardless of the knowledge and skills that's out there, would you agree? Is it mindset that really separates those businesses that get to a million, then maybe 2.5 and 5 and 10 and 50 and maybe even 100 million? What is your vision for how much growth you want to have this year? So how much growth do you want to have? Is it to get to your first million, your first 5 million, your first 10 million? Would you agree with me that in 2022, all the how-to is already available on how to do that, right? It's kind of like a Rubik's Cube. If you want to solve a 2x2 Rubik's Cube, go to YouTube. You can learn on YouTube. If you want to solve a 4x4 or a 6x6 or an 8x8 Rubik's Cube and you're committed to it, the how-to already exists. So why is it that even though the how exists on how to get your first million or 5 or 10 or 25 million, most business owners get stuck and they make incremental gains instead of geometric gains in their business? Is it possible something is going on in your mind or your brain? All right. So Let me share a story with you. When I was 19, I was introduced to this guy who was a real estate developer, and he owned 8 real estate offices with about 500 real estate agents. And my brother introduced me to this guy because I was going nowhere fast. Left high school at grade 11, didn't think I was smart enough, didn't think I was good enough. And at lunch one day, this guy asked me what my goals were. And at the time I said my goals were to buy a car, move out of my parents' house, and get a better job, because the one I was working at was paying me $1.65 an hour. And so he gave me this document. And this document, just to put into perspective, was the 1980 goal setting guide. I was 19 years old. It was March 1980. And he said, I'd like you to fill out this document. And I looked at the document, and the first question was, at what age do you want to retire? I'm like, retire? I'm 19. I want to get started. Forget about retiring. Second question was, how much net worth do you want to have upon retirement? I looked at this man and I said, Mr. Brown was his name. What does net worth mean? And the third question was, what kind of lifestyle do you want to live? What kind of car do you want to drive? Who do you want to help? What kind of charitable contributions do you want to make? And I wrote down all of this stuff and I handed it to him. And I wrote down, retired age 45, $3 million net worth. I want a Mercedes-Benz, 4-bedroom house, travel the world, nice Italian clothes, help my parents retire. And I wrote down all of this stuff that I made up in my mind. And then he asked me one question. He said to me, the answer to this question will determine whether you achieve every one of your goals and dreams. And I was thinking to myself, one question is going to determine whether I achieve all of this stuff. So he looks at me and he says, are you interested in achieving these things that you wrote down, or are you committed? I went, what? Am I interested or am I committed? And I asked him, Mr. Brown, what's the difference? And he said to me, he said, son, if you're interested, you'll do what's easy and convenient. If you're interested, you will allow your old conditioning and your beliefs and your habits and your current comfort zone to dictate what you do and don't do. If you're committed, you will do whatever it takes. You'll upgrade your identity to match this destiny. You will upgrade your beliefs, your habits, and your behaviors so that they match the level of success that you want to achieve. He said, every one of us gets stuck. And unless we are able to get unstuck and move to the next level or two or three of success, we keep repeating the same patterns over and over and over again, regardless of how much new information we gather and get. And so he looked at me, he said, so now, are you interested or are you committed? And so I said, I'm committed. And he reached out his hand and he said, in that case, I will be your mentor. And I go, wow, that's awesome. What's a mentor? And he said, a mentor is somebody that shows you the path. A mentor is somebody that guides you of what to do and what not to do, so you achieve the success you want faster and easier. He didn't say fast and easy. He said faster and easier. A mentor, a coach, is somebody who will guide you and give you a little nudge when you need it and have you pull back when you need it. A mentor keeps you accountable to what you say you want to do and achieve, because most people say they want to achieve greater success, but because 95% of their habits are controlling their behavior, they have incremental gains in their success path than what is possible. So your thinking has to change, your behaviors have to change, and obviously your strategies will need to change. I went on over the next 18 months to make $180,000, which means I paid him $180,000 because I worked for his real estate company on commission only, but he taught me what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Was the $180,000 that I paid him a good investment for me between the age of 19 and 20? Yes or yes? Of course it was. 19 years old, my father was making 25 grand as a cab driver. I made $180,000 over 18 months. I kept learning with this guy, and then I got another mentor. And my mentor in 1986 was Mr. Walter Schneider. Walter Schneider is still to this day the most successful franchisor in the world of any franchise or sub-franchisor. You may have heard of the company called Remax. In 1987, at 26, I bought the franchising rights for Remax of Indiana, and Walter became my coach. I paid him $75,000, which I thought was ludicrous, for him to teach me what to do. Between 1987 and 1990, my company grew from zero to $1.2 billion a year in sales. And then by applying what I'm going to share with you today, I was able to help my agents train their brains, 85 offices, 1,200 agents, train their brains, and we went from $1.2 billion to $4.5 billion a year. Not just by the strategies and tactics we taught them, by retraining their brains. So how many of you are interested or committed to learning how to train your brain? Because I'm going to give you a little bit of a neuroscience and neuropsychology lesson in your own psyche and behavior. As a behavioral neuroscience researcher, I'm fascinated not necessarily by what we do. I'm fascinated by how is it that we can have goals and dreams, and we even say we're committed, but then we don't behave congruently with what we say we're committed to doing. Like, why do we not do the things we know we should do and could do and want to do? Isn't that a deeper study of our own brain? And in the world I play in, the human brain, the organism called your brain and my brain, guess what it does? It predicts the future based on the past, and it wants to conserve energy so that you don't really take action outside of your current comfort zone. That is what it is neurologically and biologically wired for. So, since you all said you're committed, let me move to how does your brain help you or hinder you from achieving your business goals? So, one of the things we want to understand is when you're setting and building your companies, there are two parts of your brain I want to introduce you to. The part where I asked you, what are your goals for this year? That's you activating and properly using your Einstein brain. It's called the left prefrontal cortex. But there's also something that we've discovered, okay, called Frankenstein's monster. And we have this part of our brain that wants to go, and this other part of our brain that wants us to retreat and stay in safety. It's kind of like how gas and brakes work on a car. Is it possible to get anywhere with your foot on the gas and your foot on the brake? A lot of noise may happen, but it's not easy to get the car to move, right? So let me share with you a neuroscience-based approach to achieving your goals. So when you are actively using the Einstein genius part of your brain, you are thinking of possibilities. Easy to do. It's part of your conscious mind, right? When you paint the future of what your business is going to look like, how much revenue you're going to generate, how many people you're going to help, how many leads you need, what kind of team you're going to have, all right? When you do that, that's using this imagination and deductive reasoning part of your brain. You engage empowering emotions that excite you, where you're releasing the dopamine, and you even plan for success. Most entrepreneurs, especially as you get to 250,000, 500,000, a million, 2 million, we're really good at this part of the game. Here is the process if you want to engage the different parts of your brain to work for you. So step number one is set a vision that is absolutely clear. Why? Because you want to activate. Our brain operates on three core networks and dozens of different circuits that turn on or off. So when you create a vision that is clear and precise, not only are you using that left part of your brain, but you're also activating the occipital lobe or the visual cortex of your brain. And then when you give your brain the goals that are timelined, when you are going to get there by, that activates another part of the brain. Now, here is a piece that a lot of entrepreneurs miss. There's a definite correlation between having a why that is big enough and that'll keep you motivated. Let me explain. When we set our vision and our goals, we actually release dopamine, the feel-good neurochemical in our brain, and maybe even serotonin if we share them with our teams, oxytocin, all phenomenal. But a lot of issues that occur for small business owners is when they don't know how to work the emotional center of the brain That's where the problem arises. And I'll explain to you in just a moment when we get into the Frankenstein's monster part of the brain. So let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a slightly different question. Not why do you want to achieve your goals? Why must you achieve the goals that you have this year? So here's what I want to share with you. Is it true that every one of us will have obstacles? Every one of us will have obstacles. Every one of us will make the wrong decisions. Every one of us will have team members that just don't make it. Every one of us will make the wrong strategical decisions. Now, here's why we have to have limbic involvement, which is the emotional center of the brain. If your why is not bigger than the obstacle or the fear or the doubt, stress, and worry, then the obstacle, fear, doubt, stress, and worry override the why. So you have to have your reason why you must, so that you have the motive for action, the motivation to override the obstacles. Does that make sense? So I love to write down all of the reasons why I must now, not in a year or two or three, right now, in the moment. So this is the easy step for most of us entrepreneurs. So here is how you get your whole brain engaged, all right? So once you set your vision and your goals, what I want you to do next is write out what you will do. I want you to give your brain the instructions so it actually sees the path, and I'll share with you why this is so critical. The next part your brain needs in order to have what I call is neural or brain coherence is how can I do it or how can I get it done? We add to that, why must I do it? And we add to that, by when? Now I have engaged the five critical areas of the brain that operate like an orchestra. Imagine this. Several of your friends who are musicians get together. They've never played together. How important is coherence and harmony for musicians, right? If they're really good musicians, but they're not playing in sync, they're not playing together in unison, in harmony, in coherence, there's chaos, right? It sounds like shit. And so our brain, as I mentioned, has three networks and a bunch of different circuits that turn on or off. But when we take the time to create our vision, our goals, and our why, and then what we will do, how we will do it, why we're going to do it, and then by when, now we're getting the different circuits in our brain to work in our favor so that we do what we need to do a little bit easier and hopefully faster. Does that make sense so far?
Hi, everyone. Allison here. Now, if you are a CEO or founder and you're ready to build a scalable company that can thrive without you, join me for a free masterclass where we teach you the five critical phases you've got to know in order to scale your business to eight figures and beyond. So head on over to scalemasterclass.com/podcast to secure your seat today. You're going to leave knowing exactly where you are in the scaling process, what you need to do to get to the next level in business. And then I'm going to give you the 15 scalable models that the most successful companies use to make hundreds of millions to even billions of dollars. So head over to scalemasterclass.com/podcast to secure your seat today, and I will see you there.
All right. Now, why is it not enough to achieve your goals and dreams? Because when you do what I just said, you actually are going to be activating the nucleus accumbens and insula part of the brain, which releases the dopamine. And that gets you going. That gets you out of the gate to go. And many of us, all right, are good starters, but we're not good finishers, not because we can't. It's because we don't understand the other pieces required to change. Because if you focus on what got you here, it will not get you to the next level of success because we are creatures of habit. But even more than habits, I want you to think about this part of your brain. And I heard Allison just before, you know, talk about some of the reasons that people are saying that they don't want to invest in themselves and in the growth of their business right now, whether it was money or time. But isn't it true that you and I have another part of our brain? It's almost like there's a little person standing on our shoulder. And this little person, every time we want to do something, maybe it's bigger than what we're comfortable doing right now, there's another part of our brain that kicks in that says, well, what if it's not the right decision? What if I invest my time and my money and I don't get the return on the energy or on the investment? What if, just like the last time, I disappointed myself or my family? What if negative? Anybody other than me have these two parts to their brain? Okay, the part of my brain that wants to do things and knows I should do things and can do things, but there's another little voice that holds me back, holds you back. There's nothing wrong with you. Think about it this way. I'm going to show you a couple things. How many of you have a car that when you're driving down the highway or down the road, it has sensors, okay, in the front and the back and maybe on the side, telling you that there may be another car. Don't go into the left lane. Don't go in the right lane. Or the light pops up on your dash that you're low on gas or your tire level is low. Anybody has a sensor like that in their car? Well, that's an early warning detection mechanism, right? That's what it is. It's a sensor. It's a radar. Well, one of the most advanced evolved parts of your brain, the right prefrontal cortex connected to the amygdala, the emotional center of the brain, all right, is on high alert 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even when you're sleeping. And you know this to be true. If a baby is crying in the other room, you wake up. Why? Because we hear everything and everything is processed against this. Is this something I should do? Or is there real or imagined danger there? So anytime we want to expand and grow and invest in ourselves and do something that is not familiar to us, or we've had some pain or discomfort in the past that is locked in our memory bank, this Frankenstein monster lights up like a Christmas tree and says, well, what if you're embarrassed? What if you're ashamed? What if you fail? What if you succeed and fail? What if it doesn't work? What if you lose time? What if you lose money? What if you disappoint yourself again, like you did the last time? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm giving you the neuromechanics of what happens, and we're at the stage of neuroscience right now where we can actually see what's going on in the human brain. We can see when these stress circuits are activated, and there are several different pieces to what happens. We feel anxious. We feel stress. What does stress mean? Stress means that the current demand is exceeding your current capacity. Let me repeat. Anxiety and stress, all it means is when the current demand, the current ask of you is exceeding your current capacity. For some people, okay, investing $100, no big deal. For other people, $1,000, no big deal. For other people, $10,000 or $50,000 or $100,000, no big deal. So when our stress circuit is activated, okay, and or the fear circuit is activated, okay, it leads us to feeling a lack of control. So we retreat back into safety and comfort. Why? That's what we're biologically wired to do. We're wired to focus on the negative because of survival. And that causes these disempowering feelings because cortisol, epinephrine, and norepinephrine is rushing through our bloodstream. And many of you know that sometimes we'll procrastinate. We won't do the things we know we should do, right? And then we might even self-sabotage, right? We might take two or three steps forward and then stop short of doing whatever needs to get done. And there's only four things that can get in your way. Is this helpful so far? Is this helpful so far? Because I want you to break free. I want you to make a commitment that not only are you going to get the knowledge today, and I'll give you some skills, but I want you to make sure that you say, I'm going to use this to break free. I'm going to step in to my genius. I'm going to step up and break free from the pattern of mediocrity or of not achieving my goals and dreams. I'm going to stop standing on the edge of my potential. I'm going to actually leap and do it. So four things that get in your way. When you have a vision or goals that is bigger than your current identity, what do you think happens? Let's say you have a $1 million goal or 5 million or 10 or 25 million. Okay, that's your conscious vision and goals, right? What do you think happens at the subconscious level if your current identity, okay, doesn't match the vision and goal and destiny that you want? Do you think that you might have one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake? All right? Yeah, so whenever we have a conscious vision and goal, and then we have a subconscious pattern that's been reinforced for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we are going to have resistance. All right? What about limiting beliefs? What if you have a limiting belief? It's not the right time. I can't afford it. I'm too young. I'm too old. The market's this. The market's that. The team is not big enough. The team is too small. Whatever the case might be. What do you think happens when you have limiting beliefs? Beliefs that limit you. Beliefs drive behavior. So if you have limiting beliefs, your behavior will stagnate. And in order for you to break free and get to the next level, you have to change your limiting beliefs to empowering, constructive, positive beliefs. From beliefs that may be disempowering, maybe even negative, you have to shift those. Here's a little trick. Take any limiting belief you have right now that your brain is operating. The software is made up partially of your limiting beliefs. Take any limiting belief you have right now, write this out. In the past, I used to believe blank, 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 and now I'm choosing to believe blank. Now, why can you do this? Think about this. Were you born with any beliefs? Were you born with any fears? Were you born with a self-image or self-esteem or an identity? Were you born with any of those? No, no, and no, which means that your brain got conditioned and wired to have these beliefs. Let me ask you a question. Anybody here ever believe in Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy? Anybody? Oh, so there's a belief that you believe with all your heart and soul as a toddler that now you know is not the truth, but at a certain point in your life, you believed a lie or a myth. Not that it's bad, but if you think about how did you develop those beliefs, parents, teachers, environment, etc. So if you have limiting beliefs around your abilities or the environment and your vision and your goals, chances are you're going to have one foot on the gas, one foot on the brake. How many of you have some feelings of uncertainty or doubt or maybe even fear as a business owner? Whether it's fear of failure, fear of succeeding in failure, fear of being embarrassed, ashamed, ridiculed, and judged. What about fear of disappointing yourself or your family or a loved one? Anybody here have any fears? There's 50 different types of fears that are there in your subconscious mind that are automatically triggered to get you to put your foot on the brakes. Fear is not your enemy. Your lack of understanding how to manage my emotion of fear is the ignorant part of every one of us. So the signal, there's nothing wrong with it. Imagine you're driving your car. Light goes up on your dash. Have you ever taken a hammer to hit the light? No. There's nothing wrong with the signal. Fear is not the enemy. Not understanding how to turn fear into the fuel. Fear actually can get you 10 times further down the street when you understand how to move your brain and yourself into a peak performance state by using that extra energy that fear produces in the form of neurochemicals and adding it to your vision and goals. In the absence of knowing how to do that, we revert back into safety. The number one priority of yours and my brain, this organism, is safety and security and avoidance of real or imagined pain or discomfort. So whenever you're thinking of making a move, whether it's to hire somebody new, to fire somebody, to raise money, to double your business, to invest in yourself, this part of your brain is going to go on high alert and go, what if negative? That's just the way it works. I didn't create it. Our creator created it. Whatever you believe about that, all right, is what's the mechanics of your brain. Now, how many of you don't have the knowledge and the skills right now to double or triple or quintuple your business? Right, so watch this for just a moment. Let's say you have a vision and a goal. And you don't know how to do it. I mean, you know how to do some of it. You may have read about it, but you don't know exactly how to do it. I don't know how to double. I don't know how to scale. I don't know how to hire faster, fire, manage better. I don't know how to do it. Do you think that might activate your doubt circuit, your anxiety circuit, your stress circuit? Do you think it might activate your fear circuit? What if I make the wrong decisions? What if I fail? Well, are you aware that the fear circuit's connected to the motivational circuit, and the motivational connected is connected to the behavioral circuit? So if you're in a state of lack of knowledge and skills, if you are allowing limiting beliefs to hold you back, if you're allowing your old identity to hold you back, if you don't know how to manage your emotions as you're scaling, you will be in a state of one foot on the gas, one foot on the brakes, procrastinating and self-sabotaging. Does this make sense to anybody? This is the behavior of an entrepreneur. So we have to learn how to break free, right? So let's say you have an income goal of 1 million to 10 million, but you feel at a subconscious level you don't deserve to earn that much. It's the little voice, not that you speak, okay, to your friends about. It's the little voice that you have going on in your own head. Does anybody feel this one? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not worthy. Some do, some don't. What about you need to generate 10,000 new leads, but I don't have the skills, or I'm not smart enough. I don't have the skills to do. I don't know how to do this. All right. What about I need to hire more team members? It's too risky. Not enough cash flow, right? Whenever we have a conscious and subconscious mismatch, we procrastinate and self-sabotage, and we revert back into our comfort zone. Does this make sense? So if you're catching yourself saying, I can't afford it, all right, why not shift the frame to, I can't afford not to do this? Because whenever you say, I can't afford it, you're reinforcing a very pattern you don't want, right? It's not the right time. We use that, okay? We use that as an excuse, as a story, and you'll see in just a moment, as a rationalization, which just means we tell ourselves rational lies, right? It's too expensive. Compared to what? Not bridging the gap between where you're at and your potential this year of an extra 500,000, million, 2 million. That's expensive. Investing in yourself 100 grand or 200 grand, whatever the investments are that you need to make in yourself and your business this year. And I know that Allison's program is phenomenal and the investment is way less than that. Doing that is not expensive. Not doing it is expensive. You have to change your own frame that's keeping you stuck in your current income and sales and revenues and profit margins, right? You want to start activating Einstein and saying, I am going to operate from a place of awareness of my thoughts, emotions, feelings, sensations, and behaviors. I'm going to be aware without judgment, blame, shame, guilt, or justification. And I am going to deliberately and consciously make choices that are going to move me forward versus keeping me stuck. Does that make sense? Who is committed to taking actions? Small, consistent actions over the next month, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. Let's play a little game. I want you all to imagine something for just a moment. I want you to imagine the goal that you had before of your first million or second or 5 or 10 or 20. I want you to imagine that goal, all right? And I want you to imagine this. A year from now, we are going to meet right here. I'll be on this stage. You're going to be here, okay, from all over the world. And I'm going to ask you this question. Did you achieve your goal? Okay. Now, before you say yes or no, I'm going to add another little equation in here. I want you to think of somebody that you love more than anyone else in the world. A child. It could be a pet. I see, Judy, you got your cat there, right? So it could be a pet. It could be a dog. It could be somebody or something you love more than anything. And I want you to imagine this scenario. A year from now, if you don't achieve your vision and your goals, you will never see that person or animal again, ever. They'll be removed out of wherever you're at, and you'll never see them again. How many of you, all right, will take that vision and your goals and your why, and how many of you will let go of anything that's holding you back right now? Anybody other than me, okay? How many of you would do whatever it takes? You'll upgrade your identity, upgrade your mindset, upgrade your skill set, hire, invest, do whatever you need to do, right? When you commit, when the why is big enough, you take action, right? But here is the other part that most people do not focus on. You have to alter your beliefs about what is possible for you right now. And you have to move from limiting beliefs to empowering beliefs. And you have to reset your financial set point. You have to reset your business results set points. What do I mean by that? Every one of us, our brain works identically. Every one of us has a brain that functions the same. We develop set points for how much money we make, how much money our business makes, our physiques, our weight, our relationship. We are what? Creatures of what, everyone? 97, 98% of all of our behavior is our habitual way of thinking, feeling, and behaving. Would you agree with that? So doesn't that mean that in addition to having the vision and the goals, right? In addition to that, I really need to integrate, okay, the conscious and the subconscious patterns, and I have to, as a business owner, develop new habits that are aligned with the vision and the goals that I have. Would you agree with that? Can you see how this makes total sense? If you want to know why people get stuck, it's not because they can't get unstuck. They just don't know how to, right? So let me share something with you that you may not know. According to the latest research, there's a couple things. We have 6,200 thoughts a day, most of which are negative for most people because that's just the pattern that they have gotten habituated to operate and allow to operate and reinforce. If you are committed, I want you to commit to at least 100 days, okay, of change. 100 days of change. Why? If you think about what is a habit, a thought, emotional, or behavioral habit? Well, it's nothing more than a series of neurons, brain cells that fire off in an automatic, repetitive sequence that has been reinforced over time. So here's what I can share with you. Being part of this, you know, few day event, it's great. It's the way you get the ball rolling. But unless you stay in the environment, okay, of maintaining what you need to do, how you need to do it, so that change happens over 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 100 days, and then you add another 100 and another 100, it doesn't stick. Why? Because the old patterns are easy. It's like a highway system that's been built is so much easier to drive than a new road, new roads. So when you make a commitment to your vision and your goals, also make a commitment to being accountable to doing the things that'll actually help you achieve the goal. Because if you don't, you just revert back to having more energy or more information, more knowledge, more skills, but you're not going to take action consistently. And how important is it to be consistent? It's consistency. It's practice that makes permanent patterns. The practice that you create is the practice, okay, that'll reinforce the pattern. So let me share with you about 6 minutes. Here is some of what I do, okay, and my clients as well all over the world do every day to prime your brain. Number one, once I have my vision and my goals and my why, I review it every single day. Why? Because I have 6,200 thoughts a day. I have countless texts, countless emails, countless number of people trying to get a hold of me. Employees. I've got 30 employees as well. I've got countless number of distractions. So what am I doing at the beginning of every day and at the end of every day? I actually am looking at my vision, my goals, my why. I'm reviewing my beliefs, my habits, and I'm resetting my financial thermostat to be at the level that I want. I invest about 12 to 15 minutes a day meditating to increase my awareness. Now, remember I said that, you have 6,200 thoughts a day. Are your thoughts affirming what you want to achieve, or are they affirming, okay, fear and anxiety and stress and worry? Are your declarations solid? All right. Are you visualizing? Because visualization is simulation. When I visualize my vision and my goals and my plans for 2 or 3 minutes a day, I just open up my manual, all right, and I see the goals that I want to achieve. I see the vision. I see the benefits. I see the people I'm helping. Why? Because I'm actually activating the neurons in a specific sequence, and the neurons that fire together wire together. And if you do this for 100 days, the neurons that you fire and wire together override the old natural neurons of what your current results are. Does this make sense? Why does every athlete do this? Why does every astronaut do this? Every Navy SEAL do this? Why? Because they're using their brains better. Now, exercise, I like to stay in shape. And then I ask myself every single day, okay, what are the empowering habits that I want to reinforce today? And then every day I do, at 55 minutes past the hour, I do a little inner size check-in. One of the bodies of work that I create, including my new best-selling book called Inner Size, is around taking 5 minutes at the top of every hour, first and foremost, to breathe, to reset my sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. So I'm in a state of calm to respond state versus automatic reactive state based on old habits, thoughts, and emotions. So I do a 1 minute breathing exercise. I do, and that's called Take Six, Calm the Circuits. Then I do another 1 minute exercise called AYA, Awareness, Intention, Action, AYA, A-I-A, an awareness of my thoughts, emotions, feelings, sensations, and behaviors. And I do that, by the way, without judgment, blame, shame, guilt, or justification. And then I set my intention for the next hour. Now, am I being habitually reminded of what I want to achieve, what I want to do, and what I can do? Or am I a creature of the old habits? I am setting up habits that are empowering, constructive, and I know will help me achieve my goals. And so awareness, intention, then action. And then at the end of the day, around 5:30, 6 o'clock, I just review and reflect on the day for 5 minutes. This is a prime my brain. How many of you would agree? You own a $100 billion organism called your brain. You have no mortgage on it. How many of you think that with a little bit of practice, you can utilize the most powerful organism and biocomputer in the entire universe? All you need is a little bit of inner size a day, all right? So when you do what I suggested, you take your vision, your goals, and your why, and you start to practice every day, and you impress that into your subconscious mind. How do you do that? Well, whether you're using, you know, language patterns, emotional control, deliberate focus and attention, visualization, you're actually impressing it to the subconscious mind. We can actually see what's happening in fMRI scans and where the blood flow is moving in the human brain. And here is what I can share with you happens in the brain. You start to move into an orchestra working together in harmony and in concert when you not only focus on the vision, goals, and the why, but the beliefs, the resetting your financial set points, developing new habits. Your job and my job is to get into harmony and coherence with the vision and goals we have. It's to be able to achieve goals, not just set goals. And I'm going to ask you two final questions. All right, number one, which are you going to master this year? Are you going to master disappointment of having goals but settling for less, or are you going to master change? Which one? Many people like to master disappointment because it's familiar. Many people actually feel good when they master anything. Jim Rohn said, discipline weighs ounces, regret weighs tons. So I know you have an opportunity to invest in yourself. The question is, are you interested or are you committed? Right? I asked you that earlier. How many of you are still committed? Because if you're committed, you will hear, okay, the negative self-talk, the what if negative. But a highly trained individual hears that and then makes decisions that are in their best interest. So who's still committed? More committed than ever. Here's what I know. I had no idea that I would get to this phase of my life. I built Remax, sold it in 2007, built bamboo.com. We raised $28 million, took it public on NASDAQ. It was worth $2.5 billion. I built another company called the Life Success Institute. I built another company that went bankrupt, company did, I didn't. So I've had the failures, and I've built this company that I run right now to an eight-figure-a-year business as well, and it's mostly automated. So I know that the how-to is available to you. The question is, are you committed to? Because it's only when you are committed that you will achieve your goals and dreams. If you're interested, you're going to just do what's easy and convenient, and you'll allow the stories, the reasons, and the excuses to hold you back. Highly successful entrepreneurs have to learn to hear that, feel that, and then take inspired, positive, constructive actions towards that. So if you're committed, I know that I will hear your success story because Allison shares that with me. And I hope that this has been worthwhile for you. All right. Thanks, everyone.